He's worthy, isn't he? Amen and amen. I want to see him, don't you? And he is really worthy to be worshipped. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. It's looking like a lot are missing this morning. All of this side over here, there's a lot of empty spaces. But we pray that they'll be protected as they travel and the things on the highways or whatever is being done. Just, Lord, bless them. All right. Just for way of announcements, remember now, the fellowship meeting will be this coming Saturday at Brother Tony's. So let us know, or at Six Flags, let us know if you want to go with us or ride along or whatever, you know, and to fellowship in the fellowship meeting. So remember that. Also, next weekend, now Brother Keith Brown will be here with us from Florida to preach for us for the weekend. So remember that. And then remember, Wade will be preaching this afternoon, trying to get these out of the way on one side of my notes. And then we have a couple of testimonies. I know we prayed there the other day for little Levi, and, you know, the Lord touched him, and the doctors told him that they just need to take him off a lot of juices. So that was, they can tell you the rest of the story, but, you know, and the Lord would take care of everything. So just keep praying for him, and it'll all clear out of his body and get everything in the right order. And I know Sister Julie told me this morning about Brother Gary. He said that there was, had a couple of houses with the roof off of them, and the storms was coming up real bad, and he just asked the Lord to remove it and take it away, and everything's all right. So, you know, rained very little upon them. So we believe God. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the delivering business. He's still God. And we thank God for him, you know, and for all of his doing. So just remember all of these. I think I've got all of it. I just wrote down, remember those that are traveling. So back some of the meetings and things they've been to, and so remember these. Amen. Did I forget anything else? I generally forget something, but just remember those things. If you like turning your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we will be in Romans 8. Ephesians 1 and Romans 8. Father, we thank you for this day and the hour that we're living. We thank you because, most of all, without you, what would they be any thing, we wouldn't even exist, because we would not have no way to come without you bringing us into this world. We love you and we thank you. We cherish you, Lord, and we ask you to just be with us today in your presence as we try to speak about you, that you would bless each one, Lord, that's here and those that are by way of internet and things that will be listening. We pray that you would just bless each one and the hearts and lives of all the people, because that's all we're trying to do is just talk about you, and then let you, Lord, make yourself manifest among us, because that's what we're looking forward to. We love you, and we commit everything to you. Forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and guide us in your loving grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, our wife's going for some testing all this week, and a thing that they're going to have to do to inject some fluid into her back, and all do, just remember that, and remember the things, you know, that God would be with each one of us. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All right, go back, turn to Romans 8. I want to start reading at verse 5, down through about verse 13. Then we'll pick up in a minute after we're seated and continue on with it. But verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they are but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if, and the prophet said that's a question, page 19 of the Rising of the Sun, if it's there, right? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, in other words, conclusion to it, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we'll be in Romans there a message or so after this, I know. And so just think on these things. You know, I'm talking about the Romans that have just read the scriptures there. But see, we tried to bring out a point this last Wednesday that I hope you had an understanding of what I was trying to say and everything. And that, you know, people think that they're in the message, and that makes them, you know, well, we prove we got the Holy Ghost, we do this, that, or the other, because we're in the message. Well, could it be that we're just like the disciples were? That was what I was trying to get across Wednesday. Could it be that we could be like them? Because there in Luke, it says that when Jesus appeared among them, that he opened their understanding of the scriptures. All right? But you know, that didn't give them the new birth. That didn't give them eternal life. That was opening their understanding of the scriptures in preparation for eternal life. See? In other words, making a way or defining what would have to take place and how that these things would have to be, and that he would have to be crucified and all of that and give his life. If not, then we could not have, you know, eternal life. So then, you know, that's the point I was trying to get to us, that, you know, we can say, well, we've been in the message. Well, Oral Roberts University has it, and is there available for them, the students, to read? So if they read what Brother Branham said, then would it not be that their understanding would be opened as to the end time? See, you know, if you can read, your understanding can be opened. But that does not give us eternal life. It is not a revelation just because you're able to read, to quote, to the things, you know. That's not eternal life. It's when the word is revealed unto us. That's eternal life. It's not just a quote. It's not just, you know, a concept or a thought. And the prophet of God said, I'm convinced we're not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church. Now, he was openly to admit that about himself. He didn't say, now what I'm thinking, you're not being able to get them. He said, now we're not getting them. See, because he knew that the natural words of a man, the natural things of a man, is not going to save us. It takes a revelation from Almighty God. All right. Now, because we're talking about the stages of redemption, and we've been on it now for quite a while. This is message number 20, and we'll probably be on it 20 more, so that's all. Millennium will take place. We'll still be here. But, you know, getting ready. And but, see, what I want to do is to make sure you follow with me, because we've gotten down to basically verse 23 of Romans 8 and to talking about, to wit, the redemption of the body. It doesn't say to redeem the body there, because that's not the point. The point is to understand, to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. All right? And because if we don't understand the redemption of the body, then thereby we will have to go by the grave, you know, and wait on someone else who can have that understanding and come to the position to bring us out of the grave by their understanding. It's not going out to the graveyard and hollering and telling them to come on up. I've never believed that, you know. I didn't believe that as a Baptist, but And see, it's not that way, but it's to understand how this body can be redeemed. You know, and understanding it, then see, we can come to the position it can be. We can quote all we want to, it's already redeemed. I mean, sure, we can give the quotes, and we'll get through those things and read them. But it's not redeemed until, just like I said about the Lord Jesus, his body was redeemed at the River Jordan. That's what your prophet said from this part of the earth, the future home. Said, I've redeemed this body, and I'll come to live in it. And said, from that part, I'll redeem the rest. But it was 3.5 years before he went into a change. And I'll give you a key that he went into a change on the Mount of Transfiguration before he could go on to, you might ought to look up some words around there of, you know, transfiguration, translate, glorify, glorified. I'm just giving you a little idea ahead of time. You might ought to look those things up because we may be missing the point of all of the scriptures and things what's being said. Because it's just like I'm saying here. It doesn't say there in Romans the redemption of the body. It says to understand the redemption of the body. All right? Now, it can only be understood by the revealed word. Would you agree? The Lord Jesus was the only one that understood the redemption of the body. Because even Paul could speak of it. But remember, you can speak of things and it even be God's word. When Paul said, change a moment, twinkle of an eye, etc. like that, that was God's word. But the man himself that said that never attained unto that position. See? So that was waiting for you and I. But somebody will have to come to that place and will have to, you know, get there to the point. But see, now, opening our understanding of the Scriptures. Because I think after 40 years that we've been at Lula, this past Sunday was our 40th, which is actually Monday, was our 40th years here in this church, July the 4th, 1971, we started. And I believe after 40 years, we ought to have a little bit of understanding opened. As I said the other day, people will say, beware of those who have... You know, beware of the man that thinks he's got all the answers and things. And I said, well, beware of those people after 40 years that don't have any answers at all. I mean, that's, you know, well, I'm just simple. You know, I just want to be simple. Well, you can be simple and go by the grave, but we can get a revelation and have a change of the body. All right. Now, Paul then is giving us understanding to about this redemption, because it's got to come from the Scriptures. All right? So then as we read then, now we'll come back to this on the 11th verse and all, but we'll come back to see, you know, that this, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead be in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. All right, we'll get back to that in a minute. But I want you to do something with me. Let's just read the Scriptures and go back and turn to Romans there now, and let's just start off. And let's just read the Scriptures, because to me, the Scriptures has the answer. We were talking about this at the Bible study last night. And see, when you're reading the Scriptures, read the Scriptures as, you know, what we've got to a point, I guess we call it, we want to be so revelated until we read the Bible searching for great mysteries. And we read over the very simplicity of the mystery that God has revealed. See, looking for some kind of a mystery. You know, like the Bible speaks of a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Well, you know, that was the revelation of Jesus Christ. See? But everybody wants to find this and find that. And in Brother Branham's message, they want to do this. They want to read this. And they just read, well, I've got a quote. Well, what is the quote saying? I can take the Bible and do like the prophet said, that he could read the Bible to show you. Go, Judas went and hung himself, turn over a couple of verses and read, go, you do likewise. You know. Well, I've told you the Bible. Right. Right. See, that was, you know, self-interpretation right. upon wording. But read the Bible and see what the text is in. Amen. We were talking about last night, just as an example, talking about hatred or hate, which is works of the flesh that we've been on. All right? And see, to take the word hate and run it across, it's a big old word. But you keep dropping down in the understanding of it, and you'll find out that God hates sin. Huh? Well, but he don't hate the sinner. Huh? So then you got to break that down as to coming from our word hate and dropping it down to see that God can hate, and you can hate sin, or you can hate this, that, or the other, and it not be scripturally wrong, but it's according to your understanding. So then you got to go in and read what it's talking about. And I was illustrating to them last night, and you go look it up in your Strong's Concordance, that the word spirit, where it's like, you know, you're reading like in, you see spirit, they don't give you a difference between the word for spirit speaking of Holy Spirit than they do from the word spirit speaking of man's spirit. All right? It's just using the word spirit. All right? And see, then doing it, you must read the before and the after to see whether it's talking about the Holy Spirit or man's spirit. See? But the Bible's got its own answer, you know, and we just read the before and the after part of it, and we can understand. So let's just read now. See, Paul is putting the things in, and we got down to our, this past Wednesday, and a little bit the Sunday evening, I think it was, or the Wednesday before. I forget when I preach a lot of times, but we had got down to talking about the scripture in Romans 8:30, that those who he justified, he hath already glorified. All right? Now, what I want you to do is think with me as we read. We're going to read from verse 20, where we'll start verse 14 to save time. Oh, no, let's drop back to verse 11 in Romans, and let's read all the way over to verse 30. Or 31, right along in there. All right? See, because Paul, if he's going to tell you about the, to wit, you know, the redemption of the body, in other words, we need an understanding, Paul is saying, right? We need an adoption. We need a bringing forth of God to the position that we can have a Mount of Transfiguration experience within our hearts and lives that will bring us to the full opening of the Word and a full understanding, because Brother Branham covers Matthew 17, you know, and how that even there represented Moses and Elijah and the things that was represented, and then seeing Jesus glorified. But in doing it, see, Paul speaks, we can talk about how justified is already glorified, but see, what I want you to see is how that's done. Well, what do you mean? It's just, this is just done. It's just, no, there has to be a way for it to be done. And, you know, so save these notes. If I don't get through with them, I'll pick it back up Wednesday night. I mean, the quotes I've given you. All right, let's just start in verse, because we just read down through what it's talking about, to be carnally minded. If you yield to the flesh, then, you know, it would be wrong. But let's start with verse 11 and just read it and just make a few comments as we go along. And remember my point. When Paul finishes it up talking about glorified, he has explained to us the understanding, or given us the understanding of how this adoption, to wit, is going to take place. Now, see, that's the way you need to read the Bible. Read it to get an understanding out of it, but don't read it to try to figure it out. Because if you try to figure it out, you're going to get further away. Just read what it says and let God tell you what it says. And then you don't have to change it. See? You can read it for yourself that way, because that's the way I read. All right. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is not an exterior thing. You know, this is not an anointing to fall down from somewhere that is to bring these things. The anointing is supposed to be within you if you have the Spirit of Christ. That's why the prophet said, rising the sun, there's a question, if you have it. if you have the Spirit of Christ. It can quicken your mortal body. All right? See? Watch. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Watch. But if ye through the Spirit, the inward man. Notice I said now just an anointing falling down. From the inward man must come forth something that will be able to mortify the deeds of the body. If it does, we can live. See? From the inside out. I gave you some quotes. We'll get to it after a while. Your resurrection is inside of you. See? All right. See, then it's from the inside out that things take place. All right, now what's he said? For as many, verse 14, as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They and they only, the original says. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Right. Now, there is the stage one we've been talking about. There's the new birth. See? That's what he's saying over here. If the Spirit of Christ be in you, then he gets to verse 13, and he's still on that point that it's got to be the Spirit that is within you. If the Spirit is within you, then it can mortify or make to die the deeds of the flesh, you know, the body of mankind. And now he's telling you how that's being done. What? By the Spirit that is within you. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now watch. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that what? That we are the children of God. By the new birth. We are the children of God. Now he's not talking about human fleshly. Right? Human fleshly, we're the children of the world, and they're really the children of the devil. People don't like that, you know. They think their body's so great and glorious, but just remember, it ain't worth nothing. See? All right, so what does he say? Verse 16, the Spirit. Now, that's Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's referring, not just because it's spelled with a capital point, but because it's referring to the point of where it's at. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. See? All right? Now, what? That we are the children of God. And if children, look at the position a newborn babe comes into. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Now, what do you get from God? Eternal life. Right? Eternal life. Heirs of God, you get eternal life. See? And join heirs with Christ. Now, what does that mean? And join heirs with Christ. See? Whatever he inherits, we inherit. All right? You say, yeah, but he was God. I agree with you. He was God. And that's the point of it. If we're the children of God, we can only be the children of God by the Spirit of God that came from Jesus Christ at his crucifixion. All right. See, then we're joint heirs, not of just eternal life. The Bible said that we're heir of all things. Right? I believe it's in the book of Revelation where we're heir of all things. See? All right? Now, if we're heir of all things in this world and all the other things, it's not just a spiritual new birth heir. We're heir of all things. What? By being joint heirs with Christ. Because what did he do? He came down and inherited this world. Because he came out of this world. You agree? See, the Son of Man came out of this earth, the body. And that way, then he'll always have the connection to this body. You know, this earth and the things. Now, get to point now. I'm wanting to get down, but it's hard to do without. See? And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. Have you ever looked up? I'm giving you an assignment, okay? Have you ever looked up glorified? No, I don't need to look back. I know what it is. All right, what is it? He is not talking about your mortal being. Your mortal being is involved. So I'd go home and look up glorified. And while you're at it, look up transfigured, translated. Look these words up. You might find some interesting things that we'll begin to discuss about it, okay? Because remember, we are still here. That's my point, okay? We're still here. We can read that we're already glorified. But see, it may take no doubt how many years for that to take place to bring us into an immortal body. And there's a lot of stages between here and there. So look it up, okay? See, because I wrote it like this. What I want us to notice is the point. Paul saying we're already glorified in verse 30 there, you know, 8 and 30. But he's showing us that the understanding in verse 23 of, to wit, the understanding of the adoption is what's going to bring us to the state of complete glorification. All right? So now that's what we're trying to read. All right? Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for the sons and daughters of God to make God manifest. Right? Because how did we cover it? Manifest is to make known. We are to make God known by preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus Christ, witnessing, etc. And then what does he do? He makes us known by signs and wonders and things like that. So then we need to read that and get the understanding. See, making known of the sons of God. For the creature, now that's whole creation, everything, was made subject to vanity. In other words, put under the fall. Right? Not willingly. See, not of its own. But by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In hope. The world has a hope. The animals have a hope. The trees, the creation, has a hope. All right? And if they can see, and they saw it for a moment in the manifestation of the prophet of God in our day, now the Lord Jesus manifested in fullness, but in our prophet in the last days with the storms, etc., the things, nature saw its master. Because that's what we're supposed to be. To speak a storm out of existence. See? Shows that those things are back into being. For the sick to be healed shows those things are there, aren't they? Now watch them. See? But now remember, it only brings the world and the creation to a hope. All right? Which is an expectation of fulfillment, you know, basically at a later time would be the best definition of hope. In other words, I hope. All right, now watch, we get on down in just a minute and watch that word. See? So that's the creation now. It was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. See? All right? Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the glorious bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's why it brings a hope to the world. See? Look at all the earthquakes and the things that are around the world. Don't you think the world is like, you know, would like to be delivered? See? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. See? Everything's groaning and travailing. Mankind, the world, etc., creation. In pain together until now. Now bring that now on over here. See? Because he's prophesying, bringing it down, so it's down to where we are now. All right? I like the way Brother Rand says, Christ the mystery of God revealed. He said to see how this has unfolded itself down unto this present hour. See? You know, he brought it right down to where we're living. All right, watch now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Waiting. Paul is saying that he's waiting. He's saying, I'm not there. I'm not at that point to fully understand. I've even spoken of it in the Spirit, you know, change the moment, twinkle an eye, and all of this, that, and the other. He's even told us how it would be, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel. That was great. That's a revelation to the prophet. You know, Paul, but he never reached it. See? He had to go by the grave. See, because he knew that something was going to happen. Like Brother Branham said, he was trying to get us to see that God wasn't coming then. That's what Paul was doing. See, we thought Paul was saying, oh, he'll be here in 15 minutes and I'll get through preaching. No. He was trying to get it out of the minds of people that he was coming there. There would have to be things of falling away. There'd have to be all kind of things would transpire before it could make it into the finality. All right? Now listen. See, but what is it doing? Even ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, Paul wanted the redemption of the body. He prophesied of the redemption of the body. But he never experienced the redeeming of the body. He could say it by spirit that we're already glorified. He could tell us how it would transpire. The change, the moment, the twinkle of an eye, the Lord himself. He could tell us all of those things, but he never achieved that position. Huh? So then that means somebody's going to have to reach that place. Amen. See? And Paul is laying there, as Brother Dick talks about it, in Hebrews 11:40, I guess it is, where they without us cannot be made perfect. They're waiting on us. Amen. What they said was reality, but they're waiting on us. Right. Yeah. Whatever anybody would think about Brother Branham coming back in the resurrection and preaching and all like that, it's still dependent upon the people of God to get that back here.
That's right.
Because if not, what is the dependence? See? Then when he comes back, he can preach all he wants to. We got 30, 40 days. We ain't going to, as I said, turn around and look at what, boy, the Lord, here, resurrection. No, it's not going to be that way. But that's all right. Now watch then. After he says this now, that he's waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, look what Paul says. For we are saved by hope.
Right.
Now, Paul didn't say, but I hope I'm saved. Now, that's not to understand it, all right? This hope is not the understanding of the verse up above there that we stopped and identified on verse 20, that the whole creation was subject to the same in hope. The world only has a hope of being changed. All right? But we better have more than a hope. Listen, because he explains that. For we are saved by hope. Not hoping he's saved. Watch him. But hope that is seen is not hope. What is hope that is seen? Faith. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is not hope. Paul explains that. See? Watch him. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not saved. For what a man seeth, why did he yet hope for it? Brother Brown said, why would I want a shirt on? I've got one. See? He said, that's a scientific fact that I have on a shirt. See? This is where he's getting it from, and that's what Paul's saying. See? We start out as people in the gospel of hearing about Jesus Christ. We hear about eternal life. We hear about the change of glorification. We hear about all of the things. You know what that does? That brings a hope to you. Right? Because it puts us with the rest of the world. But once that is made a revelation, you're no longer hoping for it. If you have eternal life, you're not hoping for eternal life. See? It's already a reality. That's what he's saying, see? For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why did he yet hope for it? Listen. But if we hope for that we see not. Now. Paul, by the understanding from the scriptures, or the revelation, had a revelation of the change of faith, the substance. But you know what? At that point of time, it only brought a hope of reality into him. Now, more than hoping I'm saved, hoping I'm going to be changed. See? And Paul wasn't saying, I hope I'm going to be changed after he done seen the change. It just brought a reality of life that one day this will take place, but while I'm still here, I'm having to wait. I'm having to wait. All right? Do you understand what he's saying? But if we hope for that we see not, now what? Then do we with patience wait for it. This message has brought a hope to you and I. Now come on. You know that we basically believed before the prophet came that we were going to get a new body. All right? So through the opening of the understanding of the scriptures by way of the prophet messenger, we ought to at least come to hope. And Brother Branham will say it like that. He said, you mean there's a hope for a change of these bodies? He's not just hoping. He's saying. Paul is not hoping. He's saying what I've seen by revelation will one day have to come into reality because I've got the substance. See? That's where we got to come to. See, to wit, to understand, to have a revelation. Not to just have an intellectual concept or a thought of the redemption of the body. But it's like I told you, then how come my Lord, half of the people of this message probably still believe he's going to get a new body after all the prophets said in the Bible said. Well, you can see they didn't even get a hope. Well, I guess that's what, excuse me, they got a hope. They got a hope, but they don't have a salvation. They don't have a reality. So all they've got is a hope. But see, why would I hope for a pair of glasses? I've got them in my hand. I can see it. See? Why do I hope for them? Why do I desire a pair? I've got a pair. See, I already have the thing in reality. And one day when we're changed, see? We will then have in reality what has been a hope within us brought by the revelation of the scriptures. And it's like the Lord Jesus, see? For 3.5 years, he was the revelation. But his dependence was upon the scriptures. Brother Branham said he died on the cross believing in one scripture. Not leave his soul in hell or suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He believed that. But he was waiting for it to be translated, you know, or taken place. He had went through the Mount of Transfiguration experience of showing pure glorification. See? Showing him glorified. But yet hanging there or being beat, how do you think he felt? I don't think he felt, now when they get through beating me, I'm going to be glorified. I don't know. I don't quite think that way, folks. I don't think you and I would do it. He was going through pain and agony, but he had to, because that was the word that had to be fulfilled. See, we've got scriptures. I've tried to preach that, remember, a few weeks or months or so ago, that there's a word for each age. We've got scriptures for this age that we must fulfill. Because all scripture's got to be fulfilled. I don't agree with the man, you know, that said him and Bill was talking and said they was talking about scriptures that wouldn't even be fulfilled. Well, I can't go along with that. I don't care what the man says or what he thought Brother Brown said. I've got too much where Brother Brown said all scripture's got to be fulfilled. See, and so I just can't go with that away. You know, maybe he heard something, but he didn't hear the right way. Yeah. But listen. So Paul says, why would I hope for something if I see it? But until I see that, until I see it, I can see it now by revelation. Change in a moment, twinkle of an eye. I can see how it's done. The Lord himself shall descend. I can see all of those things. But it brings me to a hope of reality, not a hope. Right. See? Raise the word hope up, see, above from the point. Amen. He had a revelation about the change, but the change had not transpired. We can have a revelation of the change, but until the revelation is transpired and we are changed, it brings us to a hope. Right. A hope there is more than I hope I'm going to be changed. It's a reality, but it's a fact that you can't see it. Amen. You say, I see it by faith. That's true. See? You're healing. By stripes I'm healed. It's revealed to you. It may be a long time before it's a reality. Right. Amen. See? Amen. Because that's where you're coming back then to a hope of that. Not a hope I'm saved, hope I'm healed. No, get the point. There has to be somewhere in between there an understanding of a word that is to be brought to the basis that we can actually, what we've seen in the prophet's message brings a hope to you and I of a change, of a reality through the opening of the word. All right, now watch what he says. Now he's laying his background. Get what I'm saying? Now he's laying his background to be able to say something. Alright? So he goes through that it's not hope. If it's you can see it, it's not hope. But if until you can see it, it's still hanging on to something. Alright, watch him. Likewise, in other words, exactly like. Or this is what it is. See, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. In other words, how am I going to get from what I've said about the change to a reality of the change? Now, how am I going to get there? Because there's a vast gap between the two. All right. So watch what he says. He said, the Spirit, there's the key, that's in you, you know, don't change your mortal bodies. The Spirit also helpeth their infirmities. Yeah. When Jesus was in the garden, yielding himself over and finally come to the position, it says the angels come and ministered unto him. When he was out in the wilderness, you know, am I out in the desert? 40 days and 40 nights. No, it says the angels come and ministered unto him. See, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Yeah. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Good point, ain't it? The Spirit's the one that's going to take care of things. Yeah. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Yeah. That's not speaking in tongues, because these are things that cannot be uttered. Yeah. You got known and unknown tongues, but these are things that cannot be uttered. Have you ever been to the place to where that you were so burdened about something, and it just You know, you're just so burdened and so heavily burdened about someone that's sick or something. Or like Brother Gary, burdened about the fact that there's two roofs out there that's off of a house. See? And you need to be fixed before it rains. See? All right, then what do? You pray. And then the Spirit says, all is well. So he goes and tells his helpers, they're worried, and they tell his helpers, Julie told me, he said, it'll be all right. Well, have you ever been that way? You ever been to the place that it finally just come to a sweet peace? You just say, all is well. I don't care how God does it, all is well. I mean, he can put a funnel down and hang plastic out of heaven if he wants to and cover the two houses, whatever he wants to do. Yeah. But see, we don't think about that as being a fulfillment, which, oh, that would, you know, some, well, it's like the kids, you know, that wanted the mountain to be moved because they were sick and everything. And they asked the lady, and they said, well, yeah, we could pray. And they went out and prayed, and, well, it didn't work too good. And they go get their little buckets, and they move a little bit. And, well, it still didn't work too good, but you know what happened? One day they come in there and said, we're going to build a highway right down through here. And said, to do that, we're going to have to move that hill out of the way. Well, you know what? That was God's way of doing it. He heard them little kids. And it was his way of taking care of it. He can blast the whole thing away, or he can send somebody to move the thing. See, whatever he wants to do. But listen, all right, go on. I get doing that, and I won't get on what I want to. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind. He knows whether our spirit is right or not. He knows whether our intention is right or not. He said, why would you told us somebody there one time, why you want to be healed where you can go back to the world? We were talking about it last night, and you know that Brother Branham told those people? They were oil well drillers, and he told those people, he said, I know where the oil is. They said, well, tell us. We'll drill it. We'll give them money. We'll donate it all. We'll do this, that, or the other, something like that. He says, no. He wouldn't tell them. They drilled and didn't get but just little things, you know. He said, then here comes somebody along, had nothing to do with any of it, sets down one oil well and hits gusher. He said, I knew where it was at. But see, what he knew also, that their intentions wasn't right. Oh, yeah, we'll donate it all. But he knew they were going to slide a little back and, you know, something, you know. Okay, but go ahead. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, God's will is his word. Okay. Trying to get hurry up. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, here he is right in the middle of expressing the understanding of the redemption. And he's telling you how it's to take place. And right in the middle of it, he looks like he's just losing the whole thing and lost his whole point. And start talking about, you know, well, according to his will purpose. Listen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Now, to be and conformed both are future tense points. See, that's why that everybody looks back and says, I'm already this. I'm already this. That's in God's mind. I'm already glorified. That's in God's mind. See? But there is a to be conformed down here. There's a place here that we've got to reach what he has already said we'd reach. You agree? See? See, we look at it, well, I'm already glorified. See? Like Danny said, there's a man told him at work, said, well, I don't never sin. I don't sin daily, like people say. Well, he's trying to make a point, and there is a truth to what the man would be saying, but it's not the truth. Right. Yeah. I'm going to say it this way, because one thing, he's not in this message, so he wouldn't know any way to get to the truth. The other would be the point that he's just making a statement because of what he's wanting to take place. But there is a truth that we don't sin. But then the truth is that we sin every day. Right? That's what Paul's expressing through here. Life and doings and saying. Alright? But watch. For whom he did foreknow, that was before. He also did predestinate, looking to the future. to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now watch, after all that's doing, Paul, how are we going to get this to understand the redemption of the body? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Right. Now, that is God saying what he sees about you and I. He sees us already glorified. But if we don't go through the stages in the correct order of understanding, in other words, we must go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to have eternal life. For the Spirit of God to be dwelling inside of us, other than that, it's an anointing upon. Justification and sanctification is a washing and cleansing, but it's the anointing is basically upon you as an outward part. But then when it becomes into the soul by the new birth, then you have eternal life. Right. Then and only then can you start thinking about glorification. Agree? See? Yeah, but I believe everybody. No, everybody ain't going to be there. See? Only those that are true are going to be there. See? Only those that are born again are going to be there. We wish that it would be for everybody. But if they don't have it, and if we have eternal life today, we will prove whether or not we have eternal life. Because we'll come to the message of the hour. If we don't come to the message of the hour and we differ with it, then we prove we don't have eternal life. But we're just anointed with things. But see, look what Paul is saying. Paul, how am I going to come to an understanding? For this, the understanding, I want the understanding, Paul, of what's going to be of the redemption of my body. And he says, are you born again? He said, yes, I'm born again. He said, are you going through the stages of adoption? And only this age can go through those things, right? He said, do you really believe the word? Then your redemption lies within you. It's in Christ that is within you. All right? And by being in Christ, then our glorification is already within inside of us, waiting to a time to be brought into reality. But said, I want to tell you. So let's bring that if over from verse 11, because the prophet emphasizes page 19, it's the rising of the sun. He said, see, he put a question there. If the Spirit of Christ be in you. So let's bring that over now. And let's bring the new birth into being. And then we'll face Romans 8. 30. Those who he justified. Now it doesn't say there, so listen. It doesn't say there, those who he justified, he sanctified. And those who he sanctified, he's already glorified. Because see, that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about the new birth. See? Paul is not preaching the new birth in those verses. He's preaching to Christians that are born again. If the Spirit of God be in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. Right. How, Paul? Well, it's going to come because, see, verse 11, It's going to come because, verse 23, someone is going to reach the understanding of how this redemption of the body can transpire. And said it's because that we can believe what God says. All right? So he says, those who he justified. Now we go all the way to the invisible union, right? Now people out there might not understand this, so I'll back up a hair. But see, invisible union, Brother Branham, covers justification. But if you read the book real carefully, he covers it in three stages. Because you must be justified as chopping off your past sins. And then there is a daily walk in God of like the disciples taught a daily sanctification, etc. There is a justification and a walk in life. And then there comes to a time that, see, that the real you never done it.
Right.
See? Because the first is just chopping off what you've done. The second is coming to a reality. Listen to the read the book. It says, though you never done it. See? You done it? It says, though you never done it. When you're saying it's though you never done it, that means you done it, but something has been erased.
Right. Amen.
But there comes a time then when you realize, as John says over in the little Johns, that his seed remaineth in us and we cannot sin.
That's right.
We cannot disbelieve God's word. But as long as we're in these mortal bodies, the prophet said we'll be a sticker until we're changed. Now that don't mean, well, bless God, the prophet said it, so I got to be a sticker. Now that's not what he said. You do that, you prove you're lost. Is that plain language? I know Brother Dale's pretty strong sometimes when he says things, but I think it's time to say it strong. Let's quit propping up and petting the devil. If you get those ideas in your mind, it's okay for you to go out and do this, that, or the other because you're already saved. You're lost. You need a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I agree with one brother said, we need a baptism in our mind. And I wish to God he would baptize our human minds with the Holy Spirit to wash it and cleanse it. But you understand what we're saying? Those who he justified. Not just coming into the body. Not just chopping off your sins. That's not the situation that Paul is doing. He's talking to people that are already born again. He's done explained it to us. He's done covered the Spirit being in us. He's done covered the adoption. He's done covered the likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. He's done covering the new birth. And when he comes down to reality, he says it like this. He says, moreover, whom he predestinated. Now, you know what your prophet said about it. That's why I keep reading that in Ephesians. This is the only age that's predestinated unto the adoption to bring forth the change. Right? So then he's talking about those who he predestinated. He's not talking about just predestination as a fact of throwing things out and this is where it's going to be. He's talking about predestinated to an age and a time of understanding. And he says, those who he predestinated, he called them. And whom he called, he justified them. Brought them into the body, set them into place. And those whom he justified, them he also glorified. Past tense, right? Already done. Your prophet would emphasize that. I gave you a bunch of quotes on the notes and things. But what is it? Look at his conclusion then. What shall we say then to these things? I've got a lot of, let's see, how many have I got on that? I wish you'd mark them sometime and go down through there and look how many questions was asked. Verse 31 ends with a question. 32 ends with a question. 34 has a question in it. 35 ends with a question. I circled in them little things because the question is there. Me? It means it's asking a simple question. What shall we say then to these things? Question. What do we say to this? If God be for us, who can be against us? Question. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Question. See? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Question. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Question. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And you go on down through there reading it. But listen. See, Paul is explaining in the Scriptures. Now, see, that's the way that I look at Scriptures, and that's the way I read them. I read them if Paul is saying something, or somebody's saying something about it, or Brother Branham. I like to read where, like, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? I like that. Because you're going to have to take what I'm saying. If you don't, look, go book, through the books and read them. A lot of times people ask Brother Branham questions, and sometimes it looks like he doesn't even get the question. Because he doesn't bluntly answer. And for some reason, I don't know why, but you can read the book and see. You get into questions and answers. When they'll ask him a question about something, and he seems to make two or three words about the answer and goes off to something else. I don't know whether it's the Holy Spirit doing it. I don't know, but I've known that a long time. I've always told you about it. But when he says there, what Christ the mystery of God revealed, what is the new birth then, Brother Branham? He said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. He answers the question. Paul, you said that we're waiting to wit the redemption of the body. How's that going to be done? When a revelation comes to you that you're standing here, getting older, sicker, right? Not that we want to, it just automatically comes with it. That's what I tell everybody. I don't get up every day saying, well, I don't know, I'm getting older. No, I don't do that. I just get up every day knowing that I'm 71. And if I get to be 72, I'll have more pains. Because that's normal life. Well, now, Brother Dale, these people live to be 90. Yeah, but they 99.99% don't live that long. So now what's your argument? See? But listen, Paul is telling us, you're going to have to get to revelation. Well, we'll get to revelation. Well, I want my body. I'll get to revelation. No. It's not. You're going to have to get to revelation. You're just as eternal as God is by the new birth. You're going to have to get to revelation that you're justified. And the basis that the real you, which is the new birth inside of you, never did do it. Amen. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then you realize, as we were bringing out the other day in the message there, that the prophet said we need a revelation of it, where it says that we're just as righteous as God is. Because that's what he's made us. And then you've got to realization of a revelation that we're already glorified. Now, that's just an insert to try to help you, maybe a message point to try to help you understand the way I look at things and the way I study them out to reach a conclusion and come to you and try to preach then with a point of driving it hard. See, we must have a revelation of redemption before the redemption can transpire. That's what I said there the other day, that I thought when I say this point that when God gave you the new birth that he redeemed your body, I thought everybody would start screaming glory, hallelujah. You say, well, Brother Dale, I've heard you say that before. Yeah, I've said that before because I preached on it. But you know, sometimes it becomes a revelation. Maybe it took all the years to open my understanding then. It's all right. But see, a revelation comes. See, when a revelation comes, then you don't have no problems with the rest of the scriptures. It'll all fit. You don't have to deny any parts or run anything backwards and forth. See? So when God gave you the new birth, right there, he redeemed that body. Just as when he gave, the Holy Ghost came on Jesus, that he didn't need a new birth, but it came on him as an example or a ministry or the anointing. But when it did, it redeemed that body. But it was 3.5 years of horrible life before he come to the point of being changed. Difficult periods he went through. But yet he came to the point. So what does it matter if you receive the Holy Ghost when you're 8, 9, 10 years old and you're 70? Right there is where God claimed that body when he gave you the new birth. Right? See? Look what he says. Let's just get one or two of the quotes and then we'll do it. Number one on your notes, which is actually paragraph 76, question 107, questions and answers 54, 103, the morning service. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he glorified. And every redeemed person in the world this morning that's under the blood of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, hath the everlasting life and can't perish, and is already in heavenly places with Jesus, with Christ Jesus, and shall never come into condemnation. Already redeemed. Isn't that wonderful? See? Already redeemed. Sitting in heavenly places with Christ. And already glorified. Already glorified. You say, Brother Bill, does the scripture say that? Jesus said that, or the scripture said that, or the writers, Paul, he said, those whom he justified, he hath already glorified. Those whom he foreordained, he predestinated. Those whom he predestinated, he justified. Those whom he justified, he has already glorified. What is it? Oh my, excuse me, already glorified. Then if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, our fibers and beings have already been preserved in God. There is a glorified body already waiting, and you have to go to it as soon as this is over. Those who he justified, he's already glorified. Preserved in God. See? All right. I gave you a bunch of quotes that Brother Branham said everything you need was in you when you received the new birth. All you got to do is keep pushing out. Expectations, 1953, 507. All you got to do is just keep pushing out, because everything in the journey of this whole life is in you. Well, I don't need nothing else then. I just go sit down. No, that wasn't what Paul said in Romans. That's not what any Christian would say. The prophet said, keep eating, pushing out. Everything you have need of is in God. All right. Number four, you go on down. You've got to use faith in God, which is faith, 1961, 813. So you got your own resurrection inside of you. So where's the resurrection? Inside of you. All right. What is the next one? True Easter seal, 1961, 402. But we're resurrected from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's why that I don't beat on bodies. Because beating on bodies ain't going to change the inside. I try to preach to your soul. If the soul gets right, the body will follow it. Come on. All right. We are resurrected from the inside out, not from the outside in. Oh, do you notice? Not sealed out this way, but sealed in. Oh my, if the church could just see it, see, we're not sealed out, we're sealed in. If the church could just see it, he said. So then I gave you a bunch to where that it covers it, like for this is for the tape services or anybody else. Faith, 1956, where Brother Brown talking about the past tense form of already glorified there in Romans. Past tense form, Hebrews chapter 7, part 1. Jehovah Jireh, part 61, 226. It's past tense, where he said already justified, he's already glorified. All that's past tense. See, because it's in God. All right? Because it makes sure you're somewhere else. Questions and answers, 54, 103, the evening. What you are here, get this in your mind now, I'm going to close. But what you are here is a sign that you are something else somewhere. You've always wanted to be in perfection, you Christians. There is a perfection, and that perfection is not in this life. But every man and woman here that is a Christian, every person that is a Christian here, now is already glorified in the presence of Jesus Christ. And you've got another body. You won't have some other time you have right now. Right now, there's another body waiting for you. If this one should perish, could you think of that? Study on that just a moment. I told you, the biggest portion of the quotes you'll find, Brother Branham, is referring to the theophany. That you have another body right now. All right, we've got to get to that, so we'll get to it. It's referring to that, because without that, you cannot get it together. So now what he says. Okay. Let's just quote these couple and then we'll get through. Future Home, 1964, 802, number 10 on your notes. He's talking about your soul being a part of God, your attribute of God, etc. He's talking about that the body's to be redeemed. The soul's already redeemed. You're displayed here in a body. The body's to be redeemed. Now the soul's redeemed because it was in sin. So God come down by process of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and redeemed your soul. And you being part of the earth, it's redeemed by it. See, the earth and things. You're in the process now. It's growing on. Right? See, and then he covers it on down through the future home that throws part of it's made his body. And he come to redeem that, and from that he'll redeem your body. Then we've used this one before, but who is this Melchizedek? 65:221, the evening service. It's the earnest of the resurrection. This body will be raised up again because it's already started. It was once, now here's where we'll get back to a message. It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. It's turned heavenly. Now that's the earnest of you that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. All right? The others, hold on to them to Wednesday. Because it'll be quickening. The quickening power of Almighty God. But see, your resurrection is inside of you. Your eternal life is inside of you. Your glorification is inside of you. Working outwardly into this outward part. And when we get to revelation inside, not the brain, the head, the soul, when we get the revelation that we are just as eternal as he is, we'll be made eternal in flesh. Amen. Until that time, we remain in fleshly forms. See? Whether it be another 40 years or whatever it be, we remain that until the revelation comes. But it's already in the Bible and the prophet's message. We're not looking for somebody to drop out of space to bring us an illegal alien to jump down out of space and tell us all about eternal life and all. No, I'm not looking for something like that. It's the message of the hour. The prophet said our body is growing on. He said it's already started. He said God laid claim. God laid claim to these bodies the day he gave you the new birth. We've just got to let it be transmitted from the inside outwardly. And it's the same thing as your healing. You get a revelation that you're healed. It's a revelation. It's there. It's not hope. It's a revelation. Then once it's made a revelation, then you must walk on into the basis of it coming into reality. Yeah. All right? See? Because hope is not faith if you're just hoping. But why do you hope for what you have? It's a revelation. Do we have a revelation of the redemption of the body? Come on, brother. See? That it's not the body that I'm not concerned about this body being changed. I must get first the revelation that it's changed. See? And then when the revelation that it's changed, then it will have to come into reality. Now, see, you can talk to people that have been healed. See? But people that have never been healed, there's a lot of people that's never been healed instantly. So there's no way you can explain healing to them. It takes God to drop down. But if somebody that's been healed, I mean been healed right there or seen something take place right there, then you can say, look, this is just more of that. The change of these bodies is going to come because somebody gets a revelation. Right. What? Not that they're going to be changed, but the day God gave them eternal life in their soul, He laid claim on that body to bring that body to the place that you're not going to get another one. So your redemption started right there of the body. Just like Jesus for 3.5 years. What do you think about it? See, that's just the way. I just thought, I was sitting there yesterday, and I had a lot of trouble trying to get together how to bring what I want to. And I thought, I'll just do that. I'll just explain. The Scripture says it. That Paul, covering right through the Scriptures, and he comes right down to the state of showing us that we're glorified in the presence of Almighty God. And we must get the revelation that we're glorified, and then we can be glorified. But I'll say it again, because maybe it'll stir your curiosity. I would look up glory, glorified, translation, transfigured. I'd look those words up. I don't know whether I'll get to it the next message or not, but I want you to look up things. Look up everything you can find the prophet said about glorification or glorified. Study it. I thought we were supposed to be studying the message. I thought we believed it was in the message. Well, then we're reading Greer's Almanac or the newspaper to find the message. No, but people can tell you more about Greer's Almanac and the newspaper, and they can tell you about Brother Brown's message. Why? After 40 years? Come on, something's wrong with us mentality. I mean, I'm sorry, let's stand. Something's wrong when people don't know what Brother Branham has taught. I didn't ask you, was it revealed? I said, do you know what it's taught? How many times have you ever read a message? Well, I read that message. I don't need to read that anymore. I heard that, sorry. I'd advise you to go back and read some more. If you look at a lot of my books, you'll find they're marked with red, they're marked with black, they're marked with blue, they're marked with green, they're marked with all different kind of colors. And a lot of it, you can't even hardly read the words because it's many marks. But that means that's how many different times I've read it because I used a different color pencil. But yet we claim to be going out of here and we have the message in our hands. But we're not. If we don't get a revelation of the change, we're going by the grave. I've told you that over and over. We're going by the grave. We're going to have to die. Why? Because it's going to take a revelation to be changed. It takes a revelation to be healed. It takes a revelation to be saved. Why wouldn't we tell you that it takes a revelation to be changed? But do we seek a revelation? Well, go ahead, Brother Woman.
539.
Anybody have a need? 539. Healing me is that your desire? Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right. Is that your desire? Cast me not away from thy presence, Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You have a need. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That was David, wasn't it? Because he knew he didn't have any. So he said, God, restore your salvation to me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy. Looking forward this afternoon to Wade preaching. I love, because I believe faith comes by hearing. Sing it unto him as you leave. Create in me a clean heart. You're dismissed. Lord Jesus, just bless the people. Be with everybody. Spirit, witness.